السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعاني فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صدق الله العظيم. سيدنا القرآن شريف. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, our sisters at the madrasa and those listening who are receivers. Surah Tawabun, last verse. On Monday, in the majlis, we were discussing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's dua. And I explained to you that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's dua is the best of all duas. The Quran Sharif duas and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's duas are the best of all duas. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's duas were also inspired by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore, when we study the du'as of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we find that they are very comprehensive. They cover all things that we require in life, and they cover all things that we require protection from in our lives. In this world, we require certain things for our living, for our happiness, for our comfort, and there are lots of things that we require as protection from harm that is caused by many things in this world. So we require protection from that, because what is the purpose if a person earns a lot, but end of the day everything is stolen, everything is gone. Or the person does not have the health to use that which he has. Sometimes a person has got plentiful, but he doesn't have the health to use what he has got. How many people in the world, because of their sicknesses, weakness, they are not even able to eat sufficiently. They are not able to enjoy the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as people who have got good health will be able to enjoy. Of course, once again I repeat that it does not mean that that sickness is always an azab. Or if that person cannot eat anything, then it is an azab. In fact, it has been mentioned that sometimes Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reduces the appetite of a person as an ihsan and a fazl, as a favor upon that person, because Allah Ta'ala loves him and does not want to see him wasting his time in just eating and drinking. The person who is all the time hungry, he is not satisfied with breakfast, lunch and supper. He requires half a dozen other meals during the day. So now that person, so much of his time is going to go in nothing but eating and drinking. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is an ihsan, as a favor, because He loves him, because He wants to see him, close to him, and engage in his ibadah, zikr, tilawat. So sometimes He reduces that person's appetite. Now we will say that person, because of his sickness or because of this or that, he cannot eat very much. But it could be a blessing in disguise for that person. But this is definitely not a blessing. ND308442. Blocking somebody's driveway. Please remove your car. ND308442. So now that can be a blessing for that person. In everything you will find that outwardly the conditions are the same. But it could be a blessing for a person, or it could be disaster and an azab for another person. I explained to you before also that if you have to look at the bodies of two people, one a believer in Allah Ta'ala and another a disbeliever in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The person who is believing in Allah Ta'ala but his body smashed in an accident, or the person, a wall fell over him, or under the rubble he went in an earthquake, or the person became shaheed in the battlefield. Now the body, if you have to look at it, it will be no different from the body of the disbelieving person who would have also met an accident, or the wall collapsed and he got crushed beneath the wall, or he also went under the rubble. Now the bodies are the same. But on the one hand, that person is a shaheed, is a martyr. Look at the body of Hazrat Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a rock of patience. But he too began to tear, the ears are cut, the nose cut, the heart, lung, heart and liver removed. That was the body. But in the sight of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he was Sayyidu Shuhada. And look at his status and position in Jannah. So outwardly the conditions look the same. But for one person it is a rahmat, it is a blessing, and for the other person it is an azab and a punishment. The same goes with sickness, with illness, with disease, which is so common these days. So many people are in hospitals, so many people are in clinics, so many people are undergoing operations. So sometimes they become despondent, whereas Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is with them, provided they are obedient to Allah ta'ala in that sickness. Then Allah Ta'ala is with them in that sickness. Allah Ta'ala said, if you went and visit the Hadith of Qudsi, besides the other things that have been mentioned, one is that if you had visited that person, you would have found me there. Found me there, that means by that sick person. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, the person who makes qiyadat of a sick person in the morning, 70,000 angels make dua for him. If he does that in the evening, 70,000 angels make dua for him. From the evening to the morning. So now this sawab and these rewards are for what? The visiting of a sick person. Now if the visiting of the sick person is bringing such kind of rewards, then what is the reward of that person who is sick himself? What is the reward of that person? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he knows. It is his wisdom. But I repeat, I must have mentioned this before also, that one is that sickness which comes from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and one is which we buy with our own hands. There is a world of difference. The person who is purchasing drugs, is buying alcohol, is buying wine and brandy, or is buying other such kind of things which is damaging to his health, and then he say Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is with the sick person. So will that be correct? So we have to understand everything in its proper perspective. For that person, then it will be an azab. But that sickness which cannot be avoided, it is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And again, we must not think that because there's so much of sawab in sickness, so therefore we all must raise our hands and say, oh Allah, send sickness upon us, so that we can get all these rewards. We must not be misunderstanding anything. That is, if the sickness came, it's not just something to ask for, not something that a person begs for. Doesn't mean because there's sawab in certain amal, so therefore now the person must ask for it. There is sawab in the sickness, but you don't ask for it. You ask for afiyat, for well-being, for goodness in health, in everything. There was one person, they say he came from Kabul to India in those days. So he met up with some accident. So one of the locals assisted him, helped him, nursed him, cared for him. And then he told him, he said, when you come that side, you must also visit me. I was from one of the mountainous regions. So he said, when you come that side, you must visit me. You did so much for me. So after some time, this person decided that I will go and visit this person. So when he went to visit him, the person got extremely happy. You cared for me so much, you nursed me and you fed me and you gave me accommodation. So sit, I'm bringing some meals for you. So he went first, he brought nice good food for him. And thereafter he went back again inside. So when he went inside, the wife sent a note or message quietly to this person that you better disappear faster than you came. So he was very surprised that this man was very excited and now suddenly she saying, I must disappear very quickly. He said he's sharpening the knife because he said when I went there, this man really made my khidmat. And I would really like to give him something that is the most beneficial for him. Something that is really rewarding. Now I don't have that kind of money or anything to give. So something that comes to mind is give him shahadat. I'd rather give him shahadat. Take his neck off and make him shaheed. So now that kind of shahadat, so we must not be so foolish also that we start asking for these type of sicknesses. We must ask for afiyah. But if it comes, then we must think that it is from Allah Ta'ala's side. And before, or in some other majlis also I mentioned, that if you have to look at our hospitals nowadays, then they encourage you to sin as much as possible even when you are suffering from serious illness and disease. The person has undergone bypass, heart transplant, or under major surgery. And thereafter, as soon as he opens his eyes, then he must watch the TV right in front of his eyes. And what is on the TV? All kinds of things are happening. That person who just underwent surgery, now he needs relaxation of the mind and heart and soul. And what is he going to be shown then of? Accidents, bomb blasts, earthquakes, disasters, football, crickets, rugby, everywhere this excitement of, and the palpitation of the heart increases. And then all those pretty faces, and all the dirty actions, everything the person, now is he going to get better or is he going to get more sick? And for a Muslim, did that sickness bring him closer to Allah Ta'ala or did it distance him more? That is where the test is. Now this Muslim who was sick, it was a ni'mat that it brings him closer to Allah Ta'ala with his ibadah, with his zikr, tilawat, which he couldn't even do, which he cannot do now. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives him the same sawab that he was getting when he was able to undertake it whilst he was fit and healthy. And then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's rahmat and mercy descends upon that person. But then shaitan and nafs are too shrewd, they want to take that away too. They don't want to allow us to get that neki and blessings. So it doesn't make sense to any person who's got a little bit of sense. But unfortunately, this is happening in hospitals around the world. And it is being placed there by people of so-called intelligence. So we were discussing this dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in which many other things were discussed, and which included also that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sharri man yamshi ala batni, wa min sharri man yamshi ala rijlain, wa min sharri man yamshi ala arba'. For those who were not here, then besides the other things, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for protection from the harm that can be caused by animals, reptiles, whatever it is that move on their stomachs. You know what kind of animals move on their stomachs. Big, big cobras and pythons and what, they're crawling on their stomachs. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is asking protection from the harm of such kind of animals and reptiles, etc. And also those which walk on their 2 feet and those which are on 4 feet, on 4 legs. And I explain this in some detail, get the tape of Monday if you want to listen to it in detail. That we only think of jungle animals, whereas it's not the animals of the jungle only that are on their 4. What about our cats? What about the dogs? So many a time a person is suddenly attacked by a vicious dog and his mold. Sometimes a person is returning from the mall with all the goods in his boot, and then he is mauled by a dog after that. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is asking for protection from the harm of such kind of animals also. Look at how far Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's thought went. So that the ummah may make the dua and ask for protection. If you don't know the Arabic, at least make it. I mentioned that the du'as that we just limit ourselves to two or three du'as, it's not sufficient. We must build up that connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There's nothing better than du'a. Tadbir, the person makes, we make du'a, adopt the means, make du'a, and then make tafweez. Resign the will to the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ask the Allah walas and the pious and righteous to make dua for us and give some sadqah. These are the basic things. Make a lot of tawbah from all sins. Finish, that person will then have sukoon in his heart because he has done all the right things. Give up the sins, make tawbah from it and adopt these things what I have said. You will find sukoon in the heart. Then we went on, we discussed this. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min imra'atin tushayyibuni qabla al-mashir. In other words, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that, O Allah, protect me from a woman who makes me go grey before my time. This too also I explained in some detail, that it is not only the woman that makes the man go grey, sometimes the man makes the woman go grey before her time. With his oppression and with his tyranny and with his zulm and injustice and with his abuse, mental, physical, emotional, that woman also sometimes is young but she goes old. And sometimes the other way around, that the husband is a nice, pious, good character person, for the wife is dominating, abusive, because she has come from a very rich home. She wants to exercise her authority. So then she gives the husband such kind of difficulties and problems that he goes grey before his time. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asking dua for that. We would never even thought of that. So this is something that is also very important. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he didn't leave out anything that was good for us but that he informed us. And anything that was bad for us but that he informed us. So that we stay away from it. On the day of Qiyamah, lots of people, their destruction will be because of the parents, their wives and the children. Because after that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also asked for protection. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ وَلَدٍ يَكُونُ عَلَيَّ وَبَالًا. Child or children that become a test for the parents, become a real test for the parents. So many people, they go around to all the Taweez Walas and all the medical practitioners and whosoever can help them and assist them in any way so that they may be able to get children. But when the children come, then after that they start holding the ears. And most of the time they themselves are not prepared for those children's proper upbringing. I am aware of so many such cases. A couple from overseas, so that nobody speculates, could be this one, could be that, from overseas. Although there are many incidents like that. They were desperate, many years and no children. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's fazal, Allah ta'ala's ihsan, giving them some wazifa to read. Allah ta'ala, if he wishes, then he gives. Tadbir is that we will make dua, we take treatment, whatever it is. So Allah ta'ala's fazal, he blessed them with it. After some time, that same wife is complaining that my husband, day and night, is hooked on porn sites and dirty films and this and that and everything else. Now this child is growing up in that home. So what kind of character will this child have? So the child came, but now it becomes so difficult for the child, and also it becomes a test for those parents, because they are unable to give that child the proper upbringing, so they will be answerable. And many other things, if you don't go into details, you can understand what I'm trying to get at. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for protection. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for protection. So the child which becomes a test for the parents. And sometimes the parents have been very good, excellent character. They have dini knowledge. They're trying to give the child a good environment. But of course they can't lock up the child within the four walls of the home. Child is going to go to school, going to go somewhere, going to go outside, going to play with the neighbor's children, going to go somewhere. And then grow up, now the child is hooked on drugs and drink and wine and women. And his parents, although they're pious and righteous, but unfortunately the child has become the wabal. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But look at his son, refused to accept Islam. Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, his wife refused to accept Islam. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, his father refused. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's uncles refused. Now all these type of incidents are there so that people do not become despondent and lose hope in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy. If they have done everything within their means and capacity. But if they haven't, then of course they are answerable and accountable. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he seeks protection from them. And that is exactly what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in this beautiful surah At-Tahabun. And we discussed this, I think, many times. But since it is related, therefore, it is appropriate that we repeat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in verse 13, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwan lakum fahzaruhum wa in ta'fu wa tasfahu wa taghfiru fa inna allaha ghafurur rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you believers, inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwan lakum. From amongst your spouses, that means not all, from amongst them, some. What are they? And from your children, they are your enemies. Allah Ta'ala says they are your enemies. So what must we do then? We must be very, very cautious, very wary. In other words, don't allow them to take us in the direction of Jahannam. Don't allow them to take us in the direction of Shaitan. Don't allow them to demand such things from us that will cause our destruction in this world, in the qabr and the akhirah. Those very spouses, and of course azwaj can be translated as spouses, so it's the other way around also. Although they say it's related to a specific incident at the time of Hijrah, but it is for everyone, and every time, and every clime. That azwaj here, we can say spouses, that means it mustn't be the other way around also. That don't let those husbands do the same thing. So whether it's husbands or wives, and the children from amongst them, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that some are enemies. Of course we know how many people have murdered their wives, or have had their wives murdered, or their children, or the children have had the parents murdered just so that they may get some kind of insurance policy. That is a very common thing. Now that is definitely enemy from the worldly point of view, but also from the dini point of view they are enemies. If they are an obstruction in the person performing his salah, giving his zakah, fasting, undertaking hajj, fulfilling the rights of the wife, of the mother, of the parents, and of the neighbors and of others. Now if they are an obstruction, or their demands are such that fulfilling those demands will make this person borrow from the banks on interest. Look at the demands at the time of weddings and walimas and everything else. How many people, they don't have the money, but they will be, and they're steeped in payment of interest, seeped, but they will still borrow more from the bank, just so that they may have a name, that we invited so many people. We had a 7-course menu, and it was in a certain hall, the decoration was of this kind and that kind. Now just for that name, after that go to some supermarket, and go and buy something, and when that person says that it will cost you so much, then tell him, don't you know I've got a good name? I invited 1,000 people in the wedding. So charge it to that account and see if he charges it. That name for which the person did all these things, he borrowed from the banks or embezzled funds or he took bribes if he was in some authority and position. All these type of things, for what is it done? If a person lives within his budget, then he doesn't have to do that. But because there are demands beyond the person's limits, the person is earning a certain amount, but he wants to live beyond that. So now for the pleasure of the wife and the children, or his own nafs and self, now the person is stealing, is speaking lies, is taking false oaths and qasams, is embezzling funds, is cheating, is borrowing from the banks on interest without any necessity. Now will that kind of name help anywhere? It's a stupidity, it's foolishness that the person says for my name's sake. Our respect must remain in society. What kind of respect? You rather have a few people and within your budget do whatever is possible. And it is better, I mentioned to the students there at the university on Friday, explaining to them that same beautiful poetry of Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatuhum. Maana maasiyat mein mujre maana thodi lazzat hai, magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai, janaza abru ka dafn karna ye kya himaqat hai. I have explained this in this masjid, I don't know how many times. But what I was telling them, that the studies that the person undertakes, that generally after that he's got some kind of ambitions. That after I qualify and graduate, then I will go into this profession or that profession and I'll make plenty of money. And then I will buy a nice car, I'll buy a good home, and I will travel the world, and all kinds of ideas the person has. Now there's nothing wrong if his niyat is that I'll earn halal livelihood. But now that is not the end of the world. Was that the only purpose that we were sent to this world for? In any case, that was a different angle. But then explaining this poetry, I said, many a times what happens is that the person, the moment he goes into some kind of a profession, then there is a certain kind of status and position that he has to maintain. Now the person feels that I'm a doctor, so the very first day of my life now I must have a Mercedes-Benz, and I must have a big house, and I must do this, and I must have that, because I'm a doctor, I must be recognized. I'm a lawyer, I must be recognized. Or I'm a scientist, I'm an engineer, whatever the person has become. Now the person hasn't even earned the first check as yet, hasn't had a few patients as yet, and he's already got his big, big plan, so therefore he starts borrowing from the banks. So it is better, I said, that you rather drive a small katara, that is better. Buy one junk and drive it. And I said, for 4 solid years, we didn't even have a car, because the salary was so little that we couldn't afford one. So we used to go on the highway. You won't even believe it today. We used to go on the national highway. Extremely cold weather where we were. And then thump for a lift. And then somebody might stop and give us a lift halfway. And they drop us there and catch some train from there and go to another next distance from there, catch some taxi and then go to Stanger. Visit my parents. That is how. But can anybody say that there was disgrace in that? There was humiliation in that? Alhamdulillah, no. There was no disgrace or humiliation. Even today, if I have to go to that town, they will welcome me with open arms. with respect, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala kept us. And after 4 years, then we purchased one 400 rand beetle, which took a long, long time to pay. So at that time, they used to call it Hitler spook. So I said, you rather buy the Hitler spook and drive it, than that you borrow from the banks on interest, and then live under the yoke of that interest. There's no shame in living simply. There's no shame. The shame is when you borrow and you can't pay. That is shame. Of course, if the proper arrangements have been made, it's a different thing. But I'm talking about those who are just borrowing and borrowing from the banks on interest, just to maintain a certain life standard. So that is the disgrace. That is the shame. And the person's sleep is gone. What if suddenly the bank clamps? Or suddenly death overtakes the person? So therefore the person must think that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He has got our rizq destined for us. Either we take it in a halal way or we take it in a haram way. So most of the times it is because of our wives and children or parents. That is what happens. That the person wants them to live a certain standard in life. And because of that, he's not prepared to forego those comforts, those luxuries, or the person is must fulfill the demands, whether he can afford it or not. And many wives also, they will say, but look at our neighbor, every year he's going for Umrah and Hajj, and every year he's flying to England and America and Paris and everywhere else. And what kind of a person you are, that we haven't even traveled from here, across the border, we haven't even got to the town, 100 miles away. You don't even have a car. You don't even have a bicycle. Now when they will taunt the husband like that, so the husband will say, well, no problem, tomorrow I'm also going to the bank and borrowing, and I will buy one car. Because nowadays the installments are very easy. They say, pay 100 rand a month also, you can buy a car. So out of necessity and need is a different thing. So therefore Allah Ta'ala is warning, إِنَّ مِنْ أَوْلَادِكُمْ إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًّا لَكُمْ فَحْزَرُوهُمْ. But then again Allah Ta'ala being very, very merciful, kind and forgiving, He wants us also to exercise the same kind of kindness and forgiveness. That if those children, those wives, or those husbands, or those parents, I'm just giving an extended meaning, whosoever realizes that they have made a mistake, that they should not have made such kind of demands, or it was because of them that this person was now going towards sins, he was going towards haram, he was going towards disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Now that they realize and they say, okay, make me maaf, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. So now don't grudge them. Don't hold grudge in the heart. Don't say, we'll beat you up and we'll boot you out and we'll kick you on the street. Because that will make things worse. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says at that time what we should be doing, if you overlook, if you forgive, you overlook, or you pardon, you overlook, and you forgive. وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَهُ. You pardon, you overlook, and you forgive. Then remember, إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Verily, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is most forgiving and most merciful. Think of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy, are we not in need of it? Are we not in need of the forgiveness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Then who are we to say that I will never forgive you? I mentioned this since once somewhere. I said many people, they will say that I'll never forgive you. And even if I die, you must not attend my janazah salah. So I said, well and good. When the person dies, then he must go and attend the janazah salah. Because do you think he's going to take his head out of the janazah and check whether you were there or not? The person who says, he must not attend my janazah salah. So will he be able to pop his head out from the janazah and check that you were there or you were not there? So a Muslim is one who has a large heart, a forgiving heart. So now forgive. The person is repenting, is regretting, expressing remorse. So think of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's forgiveness, which we are in need of. The mistah. Look at Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. That mistah was one of them who had been participant in the slander against Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he was one of the participants. But after that, when he had taken a qasam that he is not going to give any more aid and help and anything, assistance, because he was the one that was helping him, then he was asked that, don't you want the forgiveness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Allah tuhibbuna an yaghfir Allah lakum. So if you want the forgiveness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then what must you do? So he didn't only forgive, he doubled the assistance. That was the example that they set for us. So if they regret and they said, well, we made a mistake, then now forgive them, what? Overlook it. And then immediately after that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ. Verily your wealth and your children are a test. They're nothing but a test, a great test. For people, what is a great test to do? The wealth and the children. And the great reward are with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we can see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what he mentions there. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in his dua, he is asking Allah ta'ala for protection from such kind of children who become a wabal, such kind of spouses. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is also making dua that protect me from the woman who will make me grey or will make me go old before my time. Now it was not for him. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's wife did not behave like our wives. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not a husband like we are to our wives. But this was for us to come later in life, or later closer to Qiyamah, when our actions and our deeds will be disgusting. So at that time we must take lessons from these duas. And make these duas. Ask Allah Ta'ala to give us that kind of akhlaq, that kind of character, that kind of compassion, mercy, kindness, sympathy, a large accommodating heart, overlooking, forgiving, forgetting. That is the kind of life we need to lead in this world. Give love for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to the family members, to the needy, to the poor, to our wives, to our parents. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they will then put love into other hearts for us. But if we are not prepared to give anything, then where can we expect in return that kind of muhabbat and love? Look at the enemies of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Enemies, they were thirsty for his blood. But when they really got to know him and they came close, and especially during after Sulh Hudaybiyah, in the 2 years, when the kuffar mushrikeen now had a chance to meet the Muslims and come into Madinah Sharif and see their actions and see their way of life and see their character, they had no option but to accept Islam. Their impression of the Muslim was that they are warmongers and they are this and they are that. Now when they saw them, that these were such wonderful people, so entertaining, so hospitable, so kind, so compassionate and loving. And at night also they are on the musalla and they are crying before Allah Ta'ala, and they are so good to their wives and so good to the children, because they were family members, they came to visit them. So they accepted Islam. So now how long are we going to just listen, listen and listen? Let us make some start somewhere. Life is running out. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give me, give you. And the ummah the tawfiq of amal. Now tonight is a Saturday night. And we still have, of course, 20 minutes more for our normal finishing time, 1 hour. But I will read this beautiful Naat Sharif which you have heard many, many times, where there are lots of dreams also of the maqbooliyat of this Naat Sharif of the Qari Tayyab Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, which was found under his pillow. It was towards his latter life, and when he was going through a lot of difficulties and tests and trials, and he was very desirous of going to Madinah Sharif and presenting this Naat Sharif at the Rosa Mubarak of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's decision that he passed away before he got that opportunity. Of course, before that he had been many times, but this was one of the last Naat Sharif that he composed. Thereafter, of course, it was found under his pillow, and then it became so well known and so famous that many, many people have been reciting this Natshi. Of course, they recite in a very melodious voice and beautiful tones. But whenever I recite it, a kind of feeling that overtakes my heart, I cannot explain to you. And in one of the dreams, where I am reciting this very Naat Sharif in front of the Rosa Mubarak of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's voice is heard, that this insignificant one has done justice to the recitation of this Naat Sharif. Allah Ta'ala accept with this fazal and kindness. Nabi Akram, Shafi Azam, Dukhe Dilo Ka Payam Le Lo. Nabi Akram, Shafi Azam, Dukhe Dilo Ka Payam Le Lo. Tamam Dunya Ke Hum Sataye Khade Huye Hai Salam Le Lo. One of our friends was here from Johannesburg. He requested that I read this tonight. We will get the sawab also. Nabi Akram Shafi'e Azam Dukhe Dilo Ka Payam Le Lo Tamam Dunya Ke Hum Sataye Khade Huye Hai Salam Le Lo Akram Shafi'i Azam Dukhe Dilo Ka Payam Le Lo Tamam Dunya Ke Hum Sataye Khade Huye Salam Le Lo. Picture ourselves at the Rosa Mubarak. Ya Nabi Allah, O my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Tamam Dunya Ki Tham Satare Kade Huye Hai Salam Le Lo. O the greatest of all interceders, we have been troubled by the whole world. Take our salam. Look at the nations of the world today, opposition to Islam and the Muslims. They cannot even tolerate the niqab on the face of a Muslim woman, and yet they can tolerate the nudity and shamelessness and obscenity and indecency of all kinds, but they can't tolerate the niqab on the face of a Muslim woman. And besides that, of course, who doesn't know what is happening, whether it's in Iraq or Afghanistan or Pakistan or Sudan or whichever part of the world you look at it, look at the enemies of Islam, what kind of plotting and planning and scheming and everything is going ahead. Tamam dunya ke hum sataye khade huye hai salam le lo. Take our salam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi akram Shafi'e azam Dukhe dilo ka payam le lo Tamam dunya ke hum sataye Khade huye hai salam le lo Shikasta kashti tez dara नजर से रूपोश है किनारा, शिकस्त कश्ती है तेज धारा, नजर से रूपोश है किनारा, नहीं कोई ना खुदा हमारा, खबर तो आली मुकाम ले लो, नबी अकरम शफी आजम, दुखे दिलों का पयाम ले लो. The ship is also in a dilapidated condition. Water is seeping in. Nothing seems to be functioning and working. The passengers in danger of drowning and the ship in danger of sinking. The shore also is far, far away. We cannot even see the shore. That is our condition, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stating at the Rauza Mubarak, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In poetry form, of course, it is. Alhamdulillah, for the past couple of years, whenever I have had the opportunity of presenting myself there, I have recited this poetry, this Naat Sharif. नहीं कोई ना खुदा हमारा. The worst part is we don't even have a captain on our ship to steer this ship out of the stormy waters. What a kind of situation the ummah is in. We just don't seem to have a captain anymore because everybody is a captain. Nobody wants to listen to anybody. Quran Sharif, Hadith Sharif is being made a joke of, it's made a mockery of. There's nobody in authority anymore because of the abundant amount of translations of Quran Sharif and Bukhari Sharif and other things. Everyone who studies a few ayats of the Quran Sharif or some Bukhari Sharif translation, then he becomes an authority. So we don't even have captain anymore. They can steer us out. शिकस्त कश्ती है तेज धारा, नजर से रूपोश है किनारा, नहीं कोई ना खुदा हमारा, खबर तो आली मकाम ले लो. अल्लाह तबारक व तआला, हैव मर्सी अपॉन अस. कदम कदम पे है खौफ रहज़न, ज़मीं भी दुश्मन फलक भी दुश्मन, कदम कदम पे खौफ रहज़न, ज़मीं भी दुश्मन फलक भी दुश्मन, ज़माना हमसे हुआ है बदज़न, तुम ही मुहब्बत से काम ले लो. अकरम शफी आजम, दुखे दिलों का पयाम ले लो. एवरी स्टेप फियर ऑफ एनिमीज, इट्स लाइक द फियर ऑफ हाईजैकर्स, इज हाउ इट ग्रिप्स अ पर्सन. कदम कदम पे है खौफ रहस्य, ज़मीं भी दुश्मन फलक भी दुश्मन. इट सीम्स लाइक इफ द अर्थ हैज बिकम अवर एनिमी एंड द हेवंस एंड द स्काइज हैज बिकम अवर एनिमी. इफ यू लुक एट द अर्थ आल्सो फ्रॉम ऑल साइड्स, देयर इज नथिंग बट मिसाइल्स एंड बॉम्बिंग्स एंड गनशिप्स एंड हेलीकॉप्टर्स एंड all sides and nothing. Destruction of Muslim life, property, possessions. And from, whether you look at it from the ground or whether you look at what is coming from the skies, in the ground also there's soldiers on foot and there's all kinds of ammunition that is being used and the bulldozers that are being used to demolish the homes of the poor innocent people, whether it's in Palestine or other places. And you look at the skies, then it seems that the skies also have turned our enemies. Zami bi dushman, falak bi dushman. Nabi akram, shafi azam. Dukhe dilo ka payam le lo. Tamam dun. ہم ستائے کھڑے ہوئے ہیں سلام لے لو کبھی تقاضا وفا کا ہم سے کبھی مذاق جفا ہے ہم سے تمام دنیا خفا ہے ہم سے خبر تو خیر الانام لے لو نبی اکرم شفیع اعظم دکھے دلوں کا پیام لے لو. It's always that we are not loyal. تقاضا وفا کا ہم سے. As you are not loyal, the Muslim Ummah is not loyal. Look at Pakistan, they keep saying, you are not doing enough, you are not doing enough. Everywhere it's the same story. No matter how much you help and assist them in destroying your own Muslim brothers and sisters and taking their lives, where they say, not enough, not enough. Either you are with us, they say, or you're not with us. One of the reasons. I'm not going into detailed explanation tonight. کبھی تقاضا وفا کا ہم سے کبھی مذاق جفا ہے ہم سے تمام دنیا خفا ہے ہم سے. What is it that is making them so angry? تمام دنیا خفا ہے ہم سے. The whole world is angry with us. یہ کیسی منزل پہ آ گئے ہیں نہ کوئی اپنا نہ ہم کسی کے یہ کیسی منزل پہ آ گئے ہیں نہ کوئی اپنا نہ ہم کسی کے تم اپنے دامن آج آقا تمام اپنے غلام لے لو نبی اکرم شفیع اعظم دکھے دلوں کا پیام لے لو کیسی منزل پہ آ گئے ہیں وہ. What a stage of life we have reached. نہ کوئی اپنا نہ ہم کسی کے. Nobody is for anybody today. Everyone selfish. We're talking about the majority. We're not talking about exceptions. The governments of the world selfish. They are not there for the people also. Everyone for himself. Get rich. Corruption at its height. Let the poor die of starvation, of hunger. As long as we have built up our palaces and our bank balances. And if you look at our individual lives and our home lives and our relationship with people also, na koi apna na hum kisi, neither are we of benefit to anybody and nobody of benefit to us. Kaisi manzil pe aa gaye. Ye dil mein arma hai apne tayyib, mazar-e-aqdas pe ja ke ek din. Now that was his desire to go and read this at the Roza Mubarak of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So he says, ye dil mein arma hai apne tayyib, is my heartfelt desire for tayyib, that someday at the mazar-e-aqdas of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, sunao unko, میں حال دل کا کہوں میں ان سے سلام لے لوں. I go and pour out my heart. And I say, take my salam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So first we will say tayyib. And after that we will mention our own name as a dua. یہ دل میں ارماں ہے اپنے طیب مزارِ اقدس پہ جا کے ایک دن سناؤں ان کو میں حال دل کا کہوں میں ان سے سلام لے لو. یہ دل میں ارماں ہے اپنے یونس مزار اقدس پہ جا کے ایک دن سناؤ ان کو میں حال دل کا کہوں میں ان سے سلام لے لو. سناؤ ان کو میں حال دل کا کہوں میں ان سے سلام لے لو. نبی اکرم شفیع اعظم دکھے دلوں کا پیام لے لو. تمام دنیا کے ہم ستائے کھڑے ہوئے ہیں سلام لے لو. الحمدللہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. Forgive each and every one of us. My loving Allah, compassionate, merciful, kind, forgiving, most beneficent, most merciful Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Our major sins and our minor sins, forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights, knowingly or unknowingly. My beloved Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. اے رب کریم ہمارے حال پر رحم فرما, رحم فرما, رحم فرما. اے میرے مولا اب تو معاف فرما, معاف فرما, معاف فرما. ہم گنہگار ہے, سیاہکار ہے, بدکار بندے مگر تیرے. My beloved Allah, there is no other door for us besides your door. تیرے سوا ہمارا کوئی سہارا نہیں, تیرے سوا کوئی ہمارا. My beloved Allah, change the condition of our lives. Make us yours and become ours. Remove our difficulties, our pain, our suffering, our problems, sicknesses, diseases, weaknesses. My beloved Allah, the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, wherever they may be, remove their pain and suffering and difficulties and hardships. The enemies of Islam have ganged up against the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The problem is that we ourselves are extremely weak, my beloved Allah. We don't have the kind of taqwa that is required, the kind of zuhud and qanaat that is required. Our lives are filled with vices, with evils, with all kinds of haram, my beloved Allah. How can we then expect your rahmat and your mercy? Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat and the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasul-e-Baq sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how much he sacrificed for us. Ey Rabbe Kareem, bless the entire mankind with hidayat. Bless everyone with Iman and Islam. Create the conditions for each and every one of us to go to the Mubarak city of Madina Sharif and stand at the Rauza Mubarak of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam and recite as salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulallah. As salatu wassalamu alayka ya Habiballah. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا خير خلق الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رحمة للعالمين الصلاة والسلام عليك يا شفيع المذنبين. Create the condition for us to make tawaf of your holy house. My beloved Allah, ایک دن مرنا ہے, آخر موت ہے. Don't let the angel of death visit us in a disco, cinema, theater, adultery, fornication, watching some porn sites on the internet, or filth on the television screen. My beloved Allah, we don't know when the angel of death will strike. When the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah. سلامتی دین اور اعضاء کے ساتھ شہادت کی موت وہاں نصیب فرما, بقی میں دفن نصیب فرما. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Don't deprive us of the goodness of this world and the goodness of akhirah. Protect us from the azab of qabr, from the azab of hashr, from the azab of akhirat. Cause us to cross pull sirat like lightning and enter into jannat without expecting. In the company of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba al-Kiram. Ey Rabbe Kareem, bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begged for us. Bless our wives, our children, our parents and the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption, fitnas that he asked for protection from. My beloved Allah, protect us, our wives and children, our parents, our brothers and sisters, family members, and ummah of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who have passed away, fill the grave with noor, bless them with jannatul firdaus. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas sami'ul qaleem, wa tub alayna, innaka antat tawwabur rahim. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.